Kath McAloon has a look at the week in rural news, though. And, Kath, it's better news for farm production. The figures are looking pretty good.
Yeah, the commodity forecaster ABARES revising upwards the value of farm production in this financial year. They're now suggesting that it'll be worth about $57 billion, and that's an increase of $3 billion since the March forecast. And it also tracks nearly 20% higher than the five-year average. So it's a good times in Australian farming. ABARES says that the forecast has been pushed up by better farm gate prices for beef, cattle, lamb, sheep and wool, but not all sectors have done well. Others have seen prices go backwards. Export earnings are also tipped to be 15% higher than the five-year average and be worth $44 billion. And one sector where exports are tipped to keep doing well is for lamb producers. Meat and Livestock Australia expects that lamb exports will continue at record rates next year, and that comes despite many areas facing tough drought conditions. The MLA says that producers are making better money from each sheep. That's because ewes are producing more lambs and heavier lambs. The manager of market information at the MLA, Ben Thomas, says that in 2016 he expects lamb exports will be the third highest on record, and he says that prices will also remain pretty strong.
The Kiwis have just put out a report saying that their lamb crop is expected to be at a 60-year low. And then with the Aussie dollar, I mean, it's expected to average below 70 US cents next year. So those two big influential factors are going to continue to work in Australian lamb producers' favour again next year.
And you mentioned that those export earnings are expected to be up 15%, no doubt due to our free trade agreements, and the China one is about to become a reality.
It was sort of agreed to and ratified months ago, and now it looks like it will come into force just before the end of the year. From the 20th of December, 86% of Australian goods will enter China tariff-free. That's according to Australian government figures. And the National Farmers Federation is very happy about this, and it says it will deliver a $300 million saving for the agriculture sector. And that entry into force also means that exporters will only have to wait 2 weeks for the second round of tariff cuts, and they'll kick in from the 1st of January.
Happy New Year indeed.
Yes.
We've talked a little bit about concerns with counterfeiting of Australian products in China. Some interesting developments, I guess, and innovation from a dairy company.
China is seen as a really key market for Australian food products, and that's why that free trade agreement has been so anticipated by the farm sector. But it's also a market where counterfeiting is rife, and that presents some problems when you're trading on your good name. And a Victorian dairy company has now done some work to sort of overcome some of those counterfeiting concerns. They've introduced laser coating to infant milk formula tins in response to those concerns. Camperdown Dairy International says that consumers in China will now be able to use their mobile phone to scan a QR code, which is on the packaging, and that will match the product back to the factory where it was processed, and will also give information about the date that the product was packaged. The company's Gavin Evans says that Chinese consumers are willing to pay a premium for the Australian product. That's because there's a lot of concern in China about the safety of Chinese-made product. But he says that customers there also want guarantees on authenticity of the product, and he predicts that other dairy companies will soon follow suit.
Over time, we expect it's quite likely that it'll be mandated. But as a new entrant to the market, we've made sure that we introduce our very first product into the market up there with this technology attached. And then we want to be at the forefront of that use of technology to give people confidence in the product that they're buying.
A curious development this week in the sort of warring bids to buy the Kidman cattle portfolio.
Yeah, it was big news last month when the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, announced that he would block the sale of the Kidman cattle empire, which is Australia's largest private land holding. It covers over 100,000 square kilometres. And the Treasurer announced that he would block any sale to foreign buyers. Well, now there's a somewhat ambitious bid to keep it in Australian hands, with a company offering small investors an opportunity to join a group to bid for the Kidman & Co. cattle properties. But this company is conceding that it's a bit of a long shot. Domacom is the name of the company, and it takes small investments and places them in a portfolio of residential and commercial property. It doesn't currently have any interest in rural property. It's seeking investors to be part of the bid to buy just the land and then rent the land back to the cattle business. And it thinks there's money to be made for investors in doing it this way.
Sounds a little bit managed investment scheme.
It does, yeah. And of course, many people in the rural sector would balk at that given their failed history in things like timber plantations and that sort of thing. Domacom's founder is Arthur Naumidis, and he concedes the bid is probably unlikely to succeed.
Now, obviously, with Kidman, if this works off, it's clearly a long shot, but if this works off, it'll well and truly set the rural asset classes as a target for crowdfunding.
Now, the big announcement from the federal government this week was, of course, the innovation strategy. Much in there for rural Australia?
Well, it's been an interesting one for rural Australia. Nothing specific, really, but it has been welcomed by the ag sector. In fact, it's seen to validate what's already happening in a lot of agricultural research. And so, as you mentioned, the Prime Minister unveiled this $1 billion innovation package, and it is aimed at encouraging investors and entrepreneurs to take risks and try new things and try to boost the economy as the mining boom cools. And the government is also pushing for closer collaborations between universities and industry, and that in the agriculture sector has been happening for some time. So Charles Sturt University's Vice Chancellor, Professor Andrew Van, has welcomed the announcement.
We're really pleased to see that the national debate now is turning to innovation, that the key role of universities in that is increasingly being recognised. It fits very well with what we're trying to do, but I also think it's the conversation we need to have. We know we need to find new sources of growing the economy, and this is, you know, absolutely the discussion we needed to have.
And more broadly in regional Australia, the strategy has been welcome, but there's also a warning that the focus for rural Australia must look beyond just agriculture. Jack Archer is with the Regional Australia Institute, and he says only 3% of regional employment is now in the ag sector, and he says focusing on farming alone would be a mistake.
That represents a bit of an old school view of what regional innovation is. There is possibly going to be some good investments here in terms of the incubator support program and the changes to university funding incentives. So if those come together in places like regional cities and work well, that could be good. It's really unclear in this first release of the package how that will actually work.
Yes, bring on high-speed broadband, and speaking of which...
Yeah, some good news this week for some communities in Western Queensland. They've been told that the federal government will now commit nearly $6 million to fund a fibre optic cable to improve communications in their remote part of the state. So the Barcoo and Diamantina shires have been lobbying for government support for this project for a decade, and it was a bit of a it's-on-it's-off situation because the former Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, had actually shaken on a deal to provide $7 million toward the scheme, but then the shires were told that actually they'd need to reapply for that funding. It wasn't guaranteed at all, but now this announcement has guaranteed funding. And Mayor of the Diamantina Shire, Jeff Morton, says that this new commitment will help revolutionise communications in the region.
The Federals originally were going to provide $9 million, and that got down to $7 million with a handshake, and now it's down to $6 million. But it will get us over the line. This will bring us from the 19th century into the 21st century without any figure of a doubt. Instead of me downloading a page in 7 minutes, I'll be able to download it in 7 seconds. This will revolutionise the way we do things.
It's a very happy end of the year for the country's macadamia growers.
They've had a record harvest, so they're celebrating this year. It's Australia's largest ever macadamia crop, and it's come in at 48,300 tonnes of nuts in shells. That's up 10% on last year, and it's also above what they had been predicting for this year, which was around 47,000 tonnes. The Australian Macadamia Society's Jo Leon Burnett says it's a great result for the industry, and it comes at a time when there's huge international demand for the nut, which is outstripping supply, and that's leading to some really strong prices.
I think it reflects, one, the season was kind to us, but also that I think the firm prices have meant that growers have been particularly pedantic in picking up every nut they can.
And the lobsters are holding up their end of record setting too.
Yeah, and just in time for Christmas, which is good news. Tasmanian rock lobster fishermen are celebrating some of the biggest catches of deep water lobster in up to 6 years. Stuart Charles is from Stanley Fish, and he said that the big catches off Tasmania's southwest coast were a really good sign of sustainability of fish stocks in the region. He says the extra volume has seen the beach price of lobster come back to between $70 and $80 a kilogram.
Yeah, the deep water fish is quite phenomenal. Actually, we haven't seen catching like this in my opinion, 5 or 6 years. And the sheer amounts of fish that guys are catching is quite amazing. So yeah, there has been some concern about the fishery and sustainability, but with these sort of catches, it's good to see.
And if a turducken is too much for you to cope with, happy news on the ham front.
Yeah, there's been some concern because there has been a real increase in demand for pork products, and there's been some concern about the availability of Christmas hams and also whether we'll be paying more for them this year. But customers appear to be the winners, with retailers battling over the cost of pork ahead of Christmas. So prices at livestock markets have actually increased in recent weeks because of that huge demand, which suppliers have been struggling to meet. But the industry says that that demand and prices are the highest they've been in the month of December since 2009, which you would think would spell bad news. But a small good retailer, Alex Savas, says that competition with supermarkets is forcing butchers to keep the prices that they charge customers relatively flat.
We haven't had a pork price rise for probably about 2 years now. But this year we've had two price rises on pork for us, so we're paying a little bit more than what we were the last few years. But what we've tried to do this year is maintain our retail price, so we've absorbed that price rise and not pass it on to the customer. I don't know whether that's going to be viable next year, but we'll have to wait till next Christmas to see.
Oh, always battling it out, the smaller shop owners, aren't they?
They are, the poor things.
Well, let's hope they get some ham at least. Thank you, Kath.
Thanks, Edwina.